Hey, Oz.
Hey, Curtis.
What movie are we watching this week?
This week, we've got a movie Marriage consisting of 28 Days Later.
Uh-huh.
Plane to Busan.
Ooh.
Contagion.
Mm-hmm, of course.
With a healthy dose of the Harlem Globetrotters.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
This week, we are watching World War Z. Yeah.
So the zombies are like the New Jersey Generals?
Yeah, well, I figure, you know, as much like country hopping, I was like, do I go with like James Bond? And I'm like, nah, we'll go the Globetrotters.
No, he's been everywhere, man. He's been everywhere.
That's right. And I almost went Snakes on a Plane, but then I'm like, wait a minute. There's that zombie movie, Train to Busan.
Yep.
I'm going to make it Plane to Busan. Mm-hmm. And there we go. So welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another week of Let's Talk About Flicks, that podcast where we take a monthly theme and chuckle ourselves for a good hour or so. I'm one of your hosts, Oz.
I'm the other host, Curtis.
And we are back this week to talk about the Max Brooks special, World War Z. Max Brooks being the son of Mel Brooks.
This was actually the 26th movie in this series.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like that Sufjan Stevens record approach that he tried there of hitting all the states.
And did
he ever get done?
No, I think he did two.
Yeah. He hit like Illinois.
He had Michigan and Michigan, Illinois.
And then he's like, yeah.
It's just too many states.
He's like, how am I going to get a full album out of Rhode Island?
he switched to U.S. territories. Right. Next year, his album about Guam is coming out.
That's right. I had heard that he originated with, I'm going to do counties. All the counties
All
in the United
them.
States.
Everyone. LaSalle County.
Yep. So, yeah, songs about school districts in the United States. Oh, no, we are here to talk about, like you said, the 26th entry of the World War.
Yep.
they've actually eclipsed that, because then they started making movies with numbers, like World War I and World War II.
Mm-hmm.
But we're kidding, of course. World War Z, the Brad Pitt vehicle, where you're not remotely worried about the safety of Mr. Pitt.
No, not at all. You know he's going to be fine.
Despite him being in virtually every scene and facing the most danger a person has ever faced in their lives, he doesn't ever get rattled, this
nope,
Mr. Pitt.
Cool and calm.
Jerry Pitt, very calm demeanor.
Jerry Pitt. So yep, nothing gets to him. Unlike Peak Meat... Legends of the Fall era Brad Pitt.
Right, where everything rattled his cage.
Everything got to him.
You know who also doesn't get frazzled in a zombie uprising? Patreon. Yes. Aaron A. and Mandy K. Thank you for holding the ground and keeping us safe from the zombies.
Yep. In the event of World War Z, I'm coming your way.
That's
Aaron
right.
A. Mandy K. Maybe right. Don S.
Maybe Don S. Maybe. If he'll probably be on a podcast. So.
Yeah.
All right, it's my movie this week.
It is.
So you've got the characters. Hit it, Rockefeller.
We're gonna start off with the aforementioned Brad Pitt playing Jerry Lane,
former defensive coordinator for University of Pennsylvania.
He does. It's a very like white guy football player name.
Yeah.
Jerry Lane.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Marbled Meat Brad Pitt
as opposed to
Peak Meat, because he still looks darn good in this movie.
Yes, he does.
With his hair that's not quite short but not quite long.
Yeah, he's not quite Jerky Meat Brad Pitt either.
He's not that dry.
He's an aged slab of beef.
He is. What a slab he is. Slab of meat, Brad Pitt.
Playing Jerry Lane.
Jerry Lane.
Insurance salesman for your local State Farm.
That's why I'm wearing the red shirt today.
There you go.
If I was wearing pants, they'd be khaki. And then his wife, played by Marielle Enos, Karen Lane. So we have a Karen in this movie.
This is your pre-Karen phase, so she's actually not a Karen at all.
Yeah, she's not a Karen, she's the Karen. We have, I'll just get through the rest of the family. We have Constance Lane, the younger daughter, played by Sterling Jerns, whatever.
And yeah, then, I think Brad Pitt has the easiest name to pronounce in this cast.
Yeah, Brad Pitt. Keep it simple, two syllables.
Right.
And then we have Rachel Lane, the older daughter, played by Abigail Hargrove. And then as we have a whole bunch of people who are kind of there until they're not.
Yeah.
We have Thierry Umatoni, played by Fana Mokona.
Nailed it.
Yep. Sagan, played by Daniela Curtis?
Curtis, I think, is just Curtis.
Played by me.
Yeah, yeah, you did it. Nice
it was
job.
Me. It was me. I went full method and even cut my arm off, too.
Yeah, well, Brad Lane did it.
Yeah, he did it. We have Captain Speakeasy, played by...
I think it's Samsonite.
Swami, played by James Badge Dale. We have who I just named because they didn't give him a name. Spooky ex-CIA guy, played by David Morse.
Right.
Jürgen Warmbrunn, played by Ludi Boken. Dr. Andrew Fosbeck, played by Elias Gabel. And then we have several WHO doctors.
That's right.
Played by Pier Francesco Favioni. Ruth Nega, former Oscar nominee Ruth Nega. Maurice Bloobtree. And whether this was intended or not, a WHO doctor played by Doctor Who, Peter Capaldi.
Yeah, I saw that too. I was like, huh. Wonder if they're like, we got to get somebody.
Played by Benedict Cumberbatch.
Right. Somebody's got to do it.
So that's our cast. It's mostly Brad Pitt, though.
Yeah, it's mostly Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly.
mostly. Movie hops right into it.
It does. This movie takes right off.
Yeah, and it really doesn't ever stop until the end either. We cover the entire globe in this film. But we start out in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. where everybody's stuck in traffic and they don't know why. I think everybody was just ordered to leave and they just agreed because what Philadelphia is known for is everybody doing exactly what they're told.
Yes, Philadelphia is known for its orderly citizens.
Yeah, yeah. They will, okay, we will happily comply
with
your request.
I will comply with that order without any questions or profanity.
No, we are calmly going to do what we're told.
Yeah, I'm only going to toss 4D batteries.
Yes, so we find out, we meet Jerry and his family. Mm-hmm. We don't yet know that Jerry is the savior of the free world.
Basically.
Former UN investigator, and I apparently also has been plugged into the Matrix at some point because there's nothing he cannot do.
Yeah, I mean, I've been curious about this. What did he investigate? Like, he was an investigator, but like they never really get into his background, you know?
No, it didn't matter. He just investigated. He was like the wolf in Pulp Fiction. You just called him when you know you needed him. Mm-hmm.
And he was good at whatever the situation.
Yeah, whatever he needed to do, he would do. So they're trying to leave Philadelphia and run into a traffic jam. Conveniently, this runaway garbage truck frees up a lane. Jerry and his family follow behind. It's just madhouse. Yeah. Just an absolute madhouse. And we start to see glimpses of zombies. You know, they don't feature them yet. You kind of catch them in like a quick, like two or three frames.
Yeah.
You know, you see them. And then we eventually do get a full-on view of some zombie traffic going on.
That's one thing zombies are known for. It's subtlety. Subtlety and stealth. Zombies.
Jerry, who doesn't know what's going on at all, yet doesn't have the capacity to freak out, instantly starts investigating, even in his own mind, as he discovers it takes about 12 seconds for a bitten person to become infected and go zombie.
Mm-hmm. And he knew that because he was carrying his daughter's doll
that
had like a counter to it.
It was like a Teddy Ruxpin kind of thing that was counting, and he's like, this is perfect. You know, the time this started counting was exactly the time that gentleman was bitten. I'm going to stand here and watch.
This scene would have taken a whole different feel to it if he was like, one Mississippi, two right? Mississippi,
or it was like the alphabet. it's going to take him until the letter K to turn. Yeah. and so They escape Philadelphia in a Winnebago that they stole.
Yeah.
I think that's important to note here, that it's all hands on deck. They end up in Newark. They're in a... One of his daughters has asthma. They're in a grocery store. He separates from his family for some stupid reason, but that's neither here nor there. Kills a guy.
He kills a guy. Just there it is for you, folks. Hero kills a guy.
In defense, he was coming, they were attempting to take his wife, basically. And she got loose. He came charged and killed a guy in all this ruckus. Police officer shows up. He's ready to surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Cops nowhere interested at all. He's there for baby food. Just to show you just the insanity that has happened. It is anarchy. Laws don't apply anymore. Everybody
social norms are down.
Right.
No pleases and thank yous.
Which realistically is... It's a normal work day for Philly and Newark.
Yeah. It would have been more out of the norm if they were being grateful towards each other.
Exactly. Whoa, everyone's being super kind to me right now.
Oh, how about that weather?
Jerry's got connections. And they are so quick thinking on their feet, both he and Karen. They come out, they realize the Winnebago's been stolen, but she's like, Jerry, apartments. So, he's on the phone with, the UN deputy secretary general.
Yeah, because they're besties.
Yeah, they're tight. And hey, we're headed to this apartment building. Come pick us up on the roof. And I was like, oh, they automatically know exactly what apartment in Newark they're talking about.
Yep.
We'll be right there, Jer.
Jer. <And so,
laughs> they head to the apartment. I won't say they befriend a family. There's a couple and their son that take them in.
Mm-hmm. Shelter them.
Yeah. While they're waiting, zombies take over. The parents are infected. They decide they bring the boy with them because that's what they have to do. Zombies, of course, get through and they're chasing them down. We get some fighting, but Jerry's in no danger at all.
He does get some zombie blood in his mouth.
He does. I was going to say, he does get some zombie blood in his mouth. And... when they get to the roof, rushes to the edge and is ready to jump off. He's taking this seriously. He's counting down from 12. He's like, if I'm going to be infected by this, it's going to happen soon. Doesn't happen. The helicopter shows up, saves them. They're brought to a U.S. Navy vessel out in the Atlantic, where scientists and military are trying to analyze this outbreak. What has happened?
Yeah. Everybody's down everywhere. President's dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most of the cabinet's dead.
It was 1, 2, 3, go. And then the whole world just went to heck. But naturally, everybody that needed to survive is on this U.S. Navy vessel.
Every role that is needed is there.
You got a virologist who his stance is this is a viral plague, and we got to get a vaccine going, and so they're like, Jerry, you got to help us. He's like, I'm not doing it.
I'm a family man now, boys. I'm retired.
Yeah. So and they're like, well, then you're gonna have to leave the boat, because everybody on this ship is here to help with this. There's not room for 4 additional people.
For freeloaders like you and your family. And that orphan over there.
Right. The 5 of you, there's not room for you. I mean, yes, there are hundreds of people on this ship, and only the people in this room are working towards the solution to this problem.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not room for you 5 unless you help Jerry. So Jerry's
grab a mop.
So Jerry's like, fine, I will help you. And they're like, good, you're in charge.
You're now president.
Right, pretty much. Okay, Jerry, I'm glad you agreed, because now you get to run the show. And so Jerry and the virologist Fasbach and a Navy SEAL all fly to South Korea, because everything in the world, now that the zombies have hit, everything in the world is accessible within minutes.
Yep.
Minutes.
got a nice tailwind.
Yeah, that's right. Just grab the jet stream. You'll be there in no time.
They didn't even turn on the engines.
No, right. He used one of those, like, Escape from New York gliders.
Just the other little glider. They landed on top of the World Trade Center in South Korea.
Yeah, it's all good. So they head to South Korea, and this is apparently where the first zombie outbreak occurred.
Yeah.
So, of course it was an Asian country.
Yes. They're going to where they thought was trying to find, like, was an agent or not agent. Victim zero kind of thing.
Yeah. So let's go to the source, because we gotta, if we kill the original, then everyone, this isn't like a vampire story. Like,
you kill the original vampire, right, and then all the zombies die.
Yeah. They all just turn back. Mm-hmm. It's totally fine. So they land. This scene here reminded me a lot of like Dagobah.
Sure, a lot of fog. You
know, a lot of fog, a lot of stuff coming. Mm-hmm. Or like a mixture of Dagobah and when the Millennium Falcon was in the stomach of that.
Yeah.
Of that, like, space asteroid worm.
Yep. Everything's moist.
Yeah. So they land. Of course, zombies are coming. Zombies have been waiting for them. Mm-hmm. They're waiting for them there on the landing strip.
They're following them with binoculars.
Right, they got it. And so Fosbach, who's kind of the brains of this operation, panics and accidentally shoots himself with his own gun.
Whoopsie!
So, Jerry, you're even more in charge.
Toasty!
Yeah, I think Brad Pitt went, yikes.
Wah, wah, wee, wah.
U.S. soldiers show up at the camp to rescue them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like it's there, but naturally, there's no false steps taken here.
Nope.
Because this is where Jerry learns that the infection was introduced to this military base by the doctor. And so, like, oh, the doctor's got it all.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're in, like, the compound. You know, this is where they figure this out. And then it's like everybody hops back on a plane, and we got to go to Israel.
Yeah, because the crazy ex-CIA guy said that, you know, Israel's where it really happened.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Okay.
Well, you figure they're the only plane in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just go. We don't have to worry about traffic control. Just go. So they head to Israel to figure out, you know, learn about the outbreak. And actually, there's been, like, a safe zone built.
There's, like walls that are, you know, like, 100 feet tall. So Israel somehow saw this coming.
Yeah. Israel, well, that's where it all started. So they built these walls and, you know, there's some, the people inside the walls basically are like, inadvertently taunting the zombies on the outside. With song and cheer. Yeah. It's like Whoville in there.
So the zombies are the Grinch.
Yeah, the zombies it's really cool because they almost act like a swarm of ants.
Yeah.
And that they start bridging off of each other, mm-hmm. and they scale this wall. Jerry, of course, sees it coming.
Keep it down. Right. Keep it down.
Because he is a distinguished investigator, he's mm-hmm. quickly, like, looking around, and he looks at the wall, says, uh-oh. Only Jerry and the pilot escape, because the plane's attacked by zombies. Yep. They get out, though, thankfully. So Israel apparently is no longer a place.
Yeah, they've been overrun.
So they head to Jerusalem, where Jerry meets Jürgen Wormbrunn, who ranks highly. He explains, because everybody that Jerry talks to in this movie has the exact information Jerry needs.
Yep, every single person.
He is the most efficient person I've ever met in my life. I only speak to people that can deliver answers that I need. And so in Jerusalem, Jerry finds out that there's been some communication interception where there's Indian troops that are fighting the zombies. And they quarantine themselves. And, you know, and this is where all this overrun takes place, you know, in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. I got a little ahead of myself there. And so they get Jerry back to the plane as the city's overrun. Of course, this is where Jerry gets the big breakthrough. Even though he's running for his life, he's constantly investigating.
He's the most observant person ever.
he really is. And he happens to notice the zombies running past an old man. Mm-hmm. They've been destroying everybody. They run past an old man and this other, like, emaciated boy that clearly are not healthy. He just stayed still. The zombies just ran right past him.
Because what better way to demonstrate ill health than by finding the most emaciated people possible?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Find them. Get those people in a movie. We need them. We don't got time for CGI. Just go get somebody from those early January commercials and get them in our film. And so, yeah, this is, again, Jerry's like, wait a second here. The zombies don't seem to attack the unhealthy.
Ooh. So most Americans will be fine then.
We are totally fine back in Newark. Why'd we even leave?
That's too much saturated fat for my zombie taste.
Everybody on the plane, we're going to Sheboygan.
I swear to God, this human was at least 27% Cheeto.
Jerry has a plan that if we just hop week to week to different county fairs across America... Yep. The zombies just avoid it like the
they're
plague.
Right outside the gate. Get those foot-long corn dogs
we
going.
We are fine. I've had it. We got deep-fried Snickers running. We are fine.
Somebody grease me up with an elephant ear.
Quick! You're coming through. Everybody to the tractor pull. and so... this is where Segan, one of the military escorts, Jerry's only military escort, yes. Apparently, she's bitten on her hand, and Jerry realizes, wait a second, it's been less than 12 seconds, and just lops off her arm.
Yep, one swoop.
Yeah, because it's really cool that, germs and viruses obey, the 5-second rule.
Yeah.
She's bitten, and
it all sits right there for 11 and a half seconds.
And then, boom, takes off.
Then it goes.
So he chops her arm off, which does prevent further infection, and then they get on another plane and leave. Jerry calls Thierry, and we get us to the World Health Organization. Yes. We got to get there. We got to get to Cardiff. There has been a zombie on the plane, just hiding out, I guess. He didn't have a ticket. And
he was flying standby.
Right, he was. And naturally, Jerry is, despite not having a ticket, he's flying first class, which is fine. And it's kind of a fun sequence of everybody on the front half of the plane... Once they realize the back half of the plane is absolutely being decimated by zombies, the front half of the plane nobody's freaked out. Nobody's panicked at all. Everybody is super calm. And they stack up the luggage, basically thinking, they don't know we're here because of the curtains.
Yeah.
So let's keep it that way. Well, some idiot dropped a bag and it fell over. And then the zombies, because they all are in the same movie as Jerry, are also immediately good investigators and realize there's people up there as well. So Jerry sets off a grenade on a plane to suck the zombies out, but the plane crashes.
I think that was the sequel to Snakes on a Plane, was Grenade on a Plane.
Grenade on a Plane.
Yeah.
Thankfully, though, Jerry and Segan survive, but Jerry's injured. He's now... he's been pierced by some metal rod that has missed every internal organ that he has.
Yeah, it just weaved right between him.
Thankfully.
Yeah.
It was like a crazy straw that just went right through him.
His organs are like that. it's like the JFK magic bullet.
Exactly. So Jerry is injured now. Segan, who has been amputated, is... now the healthier of the two.
Mm-hmm.
She helps them. They do make their way to the World Health Organization.
Because the plane crashed, about a half a mile walk away.
Yeah, it was close enough. Yeah. Close enough. Jerry then passes out and sleeps for 3 days. Thankfully, he didn't need any anesthesia because he just was asleep for 3 days as they treated all of his medical issues.
Didn't stir at all.
Right.
He wakes up to a perfectly healthy side.
Yeah, I'm totally fine. Totally. It's like it's like in Last Crusade where they were like pouring the water
and it just heals.
Yeah. It just heals. It's just that. They had that at the WHO office.
He chose wisely.
So
Elsa, take my hand.
Just things that he mumbles in his sleep.
Take my hand. I can get it.
Junior,
let it go.
So the staff, despite healing all of Jerry's wounds and not knowing who he is, he just shows up. He's like, oh, we better help this guy. They're pretty hostile. and he explains his theory to the scientists that, hey, terminally ill or injured people are safe. They're just not suitable for this infection, mm-hmm. and the zombies know it. So if we can develop a pathogen, basically, that will camouflage us to make the zombies think that we're unhealthy, we could totally get past them. And the WHO people are like, that sounds great, Jerry. All of our pathogens are in a zombie-infested portion of the office.
Yeah, of course they are.
So Jerry, who's now perfectly fit, is like, all right, Segan, let's go get the stuff. So he and Segan and the head doctor, because if you're going to send three people to do your dirty work, make sure they're the three most important people around.
Yeah.
Right? You guys go and get that pathogen. So they get to it. There's this fun little like Scooby-Doo chase through doors and cross hallways. And zombies are confused. Zombies are confused, not knowing where Jerry went.
They're chasing the zombies at one point.
So Jerry does get into the lab, but he can't leave because a zombie has blocked his way out. So Jerry's last resort is put up or shut up. And basically, he injects himself to test this theory.
With mystery vial.
Yes, he found the goo, and he has shot himself up with it to face this zombie head-on to see if it works. And because it is Brad Pitt, our main character, we know what's going to
work. Yeah, of course, like, it's going to work.
The movie was fun anyway. It would have been absolutely just fantastic if it didn't work, and that zombie just mauled it.
Just like, mows him down.
And everyone's just like, what? Catch us next week on World War Z Part 2. Opens the door, zombie lets him go, and we realize this works. He's got the pathogen in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody hops on one more trip. They got one more visit to Nova Scotia they got to go, where he meets up with his family. They develop this vaccine, and it spreads throughout, and everybody is safe now. Yeah. Civilians can safely travel in and out the zombie. It's like we can fight the zombies when they're not attacking us.
Yes.
So
I wonder what deadly virus, what deadly disease they injected themselves with.
Because they had to have. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know.
I'm guessing it was like, I'm also thinking, what's the quickest way to spread the...
Yeah.
Yeah, to spread the cure there, Oz.
Yeah.
Maybe like chlamydia or something like that.
Right.
Like
HIV. To where it's like we already have treatments, you know. And this movie did come out like 7 years before COVID. So it's not it's not a COVID knockoff.
you just give the cure to the most sexually promiscuous survivors.
Yeah, it was just the cold virus.
The zombie's like, wait a second, some Dayquil will take care of that.
Right. Yeah, it's like you get like 5 to 7 days of peace, and then suddenly it's right back at it.
Oh, somebody get more antihistamine.
Right? No, we need more histamine. Yeah. We need more.
The anti-antihistamine.
And that's World War Z.
That's a pretty simple movie there, folks. What are the quicker plot wrap-ups we've had? Because
it's a very dense movie,
mm-hmm.
but it's dense of just moments. Like really, if you stay on the top layer and just look at, like, it's pretty simple, quick moving plot. It's just a matter of, you know, he's got to get to the next spot to unlock the next level. It's very video game like in that you know, it's like, where are we headed now? The answer's been in Nova Scotia yeah. all along.
It's got to go to the next Zelbra Labyrinth.
Exactly, exactly. So, all right, that's World War Z.
That's World War Z, folks. Hey, at this point in the show, Eyes and I each will give our own unique rating to the movie in question, 2013's World War Z, Oz. How would you rate this flick?
I'm going to give this two saps in a Z formation. What are you giving it?
I'm going to go with 79 vials of herpes.
That had to be what it was.
Yeah.
And Brad Pitt just kept injecting himself.
As they're going around, I'm just thinking like the epilogue scenes at the end, like, oh, we're cured. And every survivor is like itching their groin.
Everyone's got like, cramps.
Oh, man. Is this really worth it?
You really didn't think this was through, Jer.
Man, I got a lot of red dots going on. Next up, folks, is Outside Insights. Oz and I have been scouring the interwebs, searching for unprofessional reviews that tickle our funny bones, and we hope they tickle yours as well. Oz, what is your Outside Insight?
I've got two. They're fairly quick.
Sure.
My first one is a half-star review, yet they loved it.
Okay.
On Letterboxd. From Max Sage. He says, this movie made me not want to watch The Walking Dead. So net positive, maybe?
Okie dokie.
And the second one is a half star review from Alex Eggroll, who says, one of the two movies, the other is Thor 2, that are so bad I had to take a break and finish it the day after. In one of the last scenes of the movie, Brad Pitt kicks a big Pepsi vending machine to stop the zombies from advancing, with some close-up shots really highlighting the brand. Mm-hmm. I watched this movie 10 years ago on a crappy streaming site, and I still remember the scene for the psychological damage I received from it. Not a Pepsi fan.
No, just RC. That's it.
Yeah. Right? So where's that Jones Cola vending machine?
Jones Cola.
So those are my two outside insights. What do you got?
I got one. This is an 8 out of 10 review from the Internet Movie Database from Movie Man. At the end of World War Z, just as the credits began rolling, a gentleman scratched that. An idiot spoke up from the back of the theater exclaiming, "What? That sucked. The book was nothing like that. Boo!" I'm sure he scurried away back home, logged online, and began tweeting, posting, and blogging, furthering his rant. Much like my response to him at the theater, I hope he received silence in return.
I was so mad.
It's like, I think I had a similar one a week or two ago, where it's like the person like edits themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And just as the credits began rolling, a gentleman, scratch that, an idiot. Right.
Yeah, my keyboard's sticky and my backspace doesn't work. So.
Scratch that. An idiot.
Stupid.
Oh, self-editing. Yep, so those are our Outside Insights. Hey, folks, it's that moment in the show you've all been waiting for, our signature segment, the 3-2-1, in which Oz and I each share three goods, two bads, and one, about the movie in question, World War Z. Oz, what are your three goods?
My first good is I really enjoy like a chaotic cold open scene.
Yeah.
With just little explanation, mm-hmm. just thrusting you right into it. And if it's done well, you're hooked. Like, mm-hmm. and they did it well in this one.
Yeah.
Like, just, you know, you've got calm, you know, just gridlocked streets. And then suddenly, boom, you know, here comes this garbage truck. And you're like, oh, this is kind of going on. This is intense. So I really love a chaotic opening scene. Well, my second one, good for Jerry's a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no doubt about it. There's not a problem this man cannot escape from. Jerry's a survivor. Destiny's Child would be proud.
He's a survivor.
All right. My third one is, despite the longer runtime, there was plenty of action in this movie.
Yeah.
Which is beneficial. It's just clocks it just shy of 2 hours long. And there's a lot of globe hopping and there's a lot of science talk. But there's also a lot of action that kind of balances things out. Mm-hmm. So that made it. That made it tolerable.
Yeah.
So those are my three goods. What do you got?
I'm going to go with, first of all, just aged and marbled Brad Pitt.
Yeah. I don't think he's ever going to be an ugly guy.
No, no, he's a beautiful man, and he deserves our envy.
Yeah, fair enough.
Uh-huh. So that's the first one. My second one is the screeching zombies. This movie distinguishes its zombies by making them sound like raptors.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was pretty cool.
It sounds like the raptors from Jurassic Park, you know, descending on their prey. And my last good, the makeshift forearm armor. How Jerry would like duct tape like thick magazines to his arm.
Yeah, that was kind of, it was fun.
In a zombie apocalypse, Oz, what magazine would you reach for?
Oh man, that's a good question. Probably the, you know, Olivet Nazarene University like alumni magazine. Uh-huh. Thick pages, nice solid cover, yep. Like. Yeah, I'd probably go with something like that.
Nice finish cover.
Yeah, I mean, you figure the day of like the yellow pages are past, so you can't just grab a thick phone book and go. Mm-hmm. Maybe a Christmas catalog.
There you go.
Costco or something, I don't know. What would you pick?
Maybe like a Modern Bride.
Yeah.
You know? You wanna...
Southern living.
Glamour. I want to be able to read Seven Ways to Please Your Man as I'm fending off zombies.
It's TV Guide. I'd get bit. It's not going to cover much area, but...
Hey, look what's on the WB later.
You got Michigan J. Frog singing to you.
My favorite Gilmore Girls episode is on tonight.
My daughter's been binging Gilmore
Girls. Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. She's really into it.
There's worse things to binge.
Yeah. Yeah, she's really into it.
So those are our three goods. Hey, Oz, what are your two bads?
This is a Brad Pitt movie. Oh, this is not a zombie movie.
No.
And so I feel there has to be some level of worry for your main characters.
Yeah.
Something that The Walking Dead did perfectly in its first, like, four seasons.
Yeah, he was never in peril.
No, exactly. No. And so... you know, it's a safe ride with that. You know, when you're not ever worrying about your lead being in any type of mortal danger, it just takes a little bit out of it. And so that's it. That's my first bad. It's a Brad Pitt movie. It's not a zombie movie. That's not a bad thing, but it's just pick a lane, you know? Mm-hmm. And my second one is just the amazing convenience that Jerry Lane was gifted in his pursuit of the solution.
Uh-huh.
Like the longest layover he had the longest hangup he had anywhere was the 3 days he was passed out at the WHO.
Yeah.
And even then he's at the World Health Organization. Like he's not like at the back of some shopping mall that he's hiding out in. He's taken care of by like the best doctors in the world.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. A lot of coincidences for Jerry.
Yeah, exactly. So, what about you? What are your two bets?
Oh, I got several. Let's see. I'm going to go with the first one. That virologist Fosbeck had a very misogynistic take on Mother Nature.
Yeah.
They're in the plane. They're flying to South Korea. And he goes on this rant about how Mother Nature is a serial killer. He calls Mother Nature the B word. And that whole sequence, I'm just rolling my eyes the whole time. Like,
yeah.
Like what's the point of this? Like. Like you're trying to make this guy something he's not, and like there's a reason this rant is coming. Something's gonna happen to this guy, and yes, that he falls and shoots himself.
And the secondary, you know, effect of that was M. Night Shyamalan watched this movie and thought, I should make a movie about Mother Nature being a killer. So he made The Happening.
He did. It inspired Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
My second bad, let's go on the plane. I mean, that's what you get for flying coach, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Idiots.
Yeah, upgrade to first class. Otherwise, you're bound to get overrun by zombies.
If you can't afford first class, you shouldn't be traveling.
No, no, you're a poor.
Yep. Pauper.
Oh, it's fun to make fun of people who are less fortunate.
Oh, I love it. It's one of my favorite pastimes.
So, yeah, don't fly coach, folks. That's the other bad. Hey, Oz, what's your one, huh?
Did Jerry have any layovers for any of his flights?
No.
There was constantly pilots at the ready just waiting for Jerry to show up. Like, they never had to assemble a troop or find a pilot or... fuel up or anything. Yep. Everybody was just ready.
Nope. He just hopped out to Hudson News and, you know, grab a new phone charger and he was off.
That was my huzz. Just how did he avoid having to wait for anything?
Yeah, frequent flyer miles.
Like I said, at the WHO, that's the only time anybody waited for him. Other than that, he's like, guys, let's rock and roll.
And it's not like he missed anything. He was unconscious the whole time.
Yeah, he just missed a couple phone calls from his wife. But even she was like, "It's Jerry's fine.
He's fine. It's Jerry.
It's Jerry.
He's marbled."
Yeah. It's like, I'm married to Brad Pitt, so it's
he's
cool.
Fine.
I'm just going to, you know, I'm good. So, what's your huh?
Oh, my huh. Let's see. Let's go with... If you had to infect yourself with a terminal illness, which one? I know we kind of sort of danced around this before. Which one would you actually pick?
What one would I pick?
I know there's so many choices out there.
I know. I don't know. I probably virus too.
I'm gonna go with chicken pox.
Yeah, I think chicken, especially if I were younger. I wouldn't want shingles.
No.
But, yeah, I'll join you in the chicken pox brigade.
Yeah, just, you know, go raid the CVS for some calamine lotion.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just fine. And then just stay away from people, which is what I prefer to do anyway.
I'll throw in a bonus here as well, Oz. When Jerry cut off Segan's arm, how strong is Jerry and how sharp was that knife?
Both.
Because he, like, just grabbed it and brought it down and chopped her arm off, like mid-forearm. There's two bones there, folks.
Yeah, and there was no, like, inertia effect on her.
Yeah.
She had her arm out, and it just lopped it off.
Yeah.
There was no downward force of that machete. It just came clean off.
Yeah.
He's good.
He is. I mean, he's Brad Pitt.
He's Brad Pitt. Shania Twain even sang a song about it.
He just winked at that arm, and the arm just fell off.
Right. They had to cast Brad Pitt because nothing else he did would have impressed people much.
Zombie outbreak is here. Who do we call? Brad Pitt.
What are you, Brad Pitt? So.
Well, hey, folks, that's World War Z.
Yeah, World War Z. In effect, in the house. So we will be back next week with one of your movies. What do we got next week?
Next week, again, we're sticking with the war theme, Oz, because we must have the consecutive letters WAR. And we're gonna go to a film that came out just a couple years after World War Z, Captain America Civil War. So we're hopping into the MCU, Oz.
Yeah, and this movie wouldn't be possible if Brad Pitt didn't clear up the zombie virus 3 years prior.
I know. He took care of business just in time for Cap and Iron Man to go at each other.
It would have been fun seeing, like, Marvel zombies, though. That would have been a cool movie.
That would be a whole different thing. Although they did do an episode of that on, was it Marvel What If?
What If, yeah. So... So Captain America Civil War. Mm-hmm. We haven't done a whole lot of MCU stuff.
No, we've done Thor Ragnarok, and did we do anything else? Was that it?
I don't remember. Let me glance real quick.
I want to say we did, but I don't know.
Thor Ragnarok. Because I've got it pulled up here. Just jumping out at me. I don't think so.
Just our second MCU movie.
Yeah, fair enough. So, you can find us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Like and subscribe. Leave comments, all that stuff. Patreon link is down below if you'd like to kick in and throw a few coins our way. We always appreciate it.
Yeah. If you want to give somebody an early Thanksgiving present.
There you go. Yeah.
As opposed to bringing a side, like a dish to pass or like a side.
I don't need any. I love sweet potatoes, but I don't need sweet potatoes.
No, give the gift of Patreon.
Yeah. I love that. I like that. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So, but no, that wraps up episode 106.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're getting there, Oz.
We are on the way to 106,000. So, for Let's Talk About Flicks, I'm Oz.
I'm Curtis.
And we'll see you guys next week with Captain America Civil War.